Good morning.
I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you for being here, and thank you to everybody watching online. If you have comments or questions, please feel free to put them in the box below, and I respond to them all personally. I don't have an assistant do that anymore. I found that that was like sending someone else to a party to make friends for you. That just didn't make sense, and so now I handle everything. This is a series that I'm doing. This is the second part, and I wanted to begin with a recap of last week because I think it's very important to contextualize what we're talking about. I asked you this before. Raise your hand if you feel stressed. Raise your hand, please. Now, why did I say that the timing is perfect for me to talk about stress right now? Because people watching online may be watching this 6 months from now. But what's going on right now that might cause you to feel a little more stressed? Is there anything transpiring? Yes.
Something in office.
I'm sorry?
Trump.
Oh, Trump. Okay, so you mean, well, let's leave it and just say the election. Could we say that? Yes, because the thing is, literally you cannot get up a single day without hearing Donald Trump talk about how Hillary Clinton is going to die in the White House. Meanwhile, she's already signed an executive order allowing all AIDS rapists to come over any border they choose. And we've also got Hillary Clinton warning us that if Donald Trump is elected, then the world is basically going to explode in nuclear war in the first 60 days. That's the purpose of an election, y'all. If you're not enraged, you're not engaged. And so the purpose is to enrage you on a daily basis so you don't cool off before the election and possibly not vote. This is calculated. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. If you go back and look what Thomas Jefferson said about James Madison, it's about what Hillary and Donald are saying about each other. At this stage of the game, things get more and more personal. The problem is we are watching this, and one of these two people is going to be our next president. And right now we're all left with they both should be in jail or run out of the country or something. But that's the way it's designed to work. Because if you're enraged, you're engaged. If you're stressed, you will act. If you're stressed, you will act. So it's being used to manipulate us. But I want to talk about, because if I had said to you, if the election was not going on, right? If it was 6 months from now, and I said, raise your hand if you're stressed about any audience I've spoken to, what do you think they do? They raise their hand. And so I want us to dismantle stress. I want us to look at it from an intelligent way and also to realize some very simple things we can do to diminish and in many cases eliminate stress. Stress is the number one killer of people. Google it. It's the number one killer of people. Heart disease, cancer, even asthma, exacerbated by stress. What is stress? It's like you know it when you feel it, right? Hard to describe. But what does it feel like in your body? What does stress feel like in your body? Somebody shout out.
Tension.
It's number one. Do you hear that from both sides of the room? Tension. You're like this. When I was at the University of South Carolina, one of my fraternity brothers was a ROTC, or Reserve Officer Training Corps. And whenever a senior classman came by him, he had to brace like this. Why? Because they might hit him at any time. But he was instructed to brace whether they hit him or not. Things have changed, I hope, nowadays. That was a while ago. But most of us are walking around, what? Braced, as if we're going to be hit. Because people in power want us, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I just want you to think about this. For everyone from politicians to breakfast producers, breakfast cereal companies, want you to be stressed because they want you to be loyal. They want you to be engaged, and it's the easiest way to get you engaged. One study that I read showed that you can dramatically diminish the amount of stress in your life just by not looking at all the other products at the grocery store, but going in and buying exactly what you need. Having a list, going in and buying it. Of course, they put those little mind erasers when you walk in. They say they're metal detectors or whatever, or to keep people from stealing. They're mind erasers. They are there to erase your mind so that you walk around and you're looking at all the different things. If you are a particular fan of one particular cereal, they want to get you agitated and possibly try another one. So we literally, because of all the choices, you get more stressed with choice, not less. More stressed. There was a really cool study that was done years ago where they invited college students to either go to a concert or go study. And they gave them tickets. Well, about 80% of them, what do you think? They went to the concert. Then another concert came along and they said, you can go to this concert or you can go to this movie opening that everybody wanted to go to, or you could study. What do you think happened? Most of them studied. They could have gone to the movie opening or the concert, but it was too stressful to try and make the decision. So they opted for the course of least resistance. I want to review what we talked about last time we were together. Number one, is stress good or bad? Bad, yes. In most cases, it's bad. Some of y'all were here, you know what I'm talking about. But why? As we talked about, where do you feel stress in your body? Where, usually? Thank you. It's a universal thing. Everybody's like, well, I feel it here. Well, guess what? Everybody feels it there. That's also where your what is. Oh, I don't know, your heart, your lungs. Everything that's important is in here, and that's where we feel it. Now, what happens when we're stressed? We feel exactly as I said. Going forward, there we go. As I said last week, stress is primal but only partially reinforced by society. What I mean by that is, and we'll talk about this in a second, there are two types of stress, and only one is reinforced in our society. It's the only one that we even talk about. So here are the types. Number one, what does it say? Distress. They're literally, when Hans Selye wrote this article for Nature in 1936, he did not say that there was a thing called stress. He never used the word stress. He used distress and eustress, which we'll talk about in a moment. Distress and eustress. I would encourage you, if you in any way want to diminish stress in your life, stop using the word stress. Use the word distress. Use the word distress and then seek to get yourself out of distress. Does that make sense? Raise your hand. So often we're like, I'm stressed. And that's it. We don't do anything. But if you say, I am in distress, you go, well, what is causing my distress and what can I do to resolve it? And we'll talk more about that next week. So there's two types of what we have come to know as stress. There is what? What's it called? Distress. Use that. That's what people say when they mean stress in our culture. The other type of stress is pronounced eustress. Eustress. It is stimulated by your divine purpose. Now, this was not the writer of The Secret. This was not Michael Beckwith. This was not Louise Hay or Wayne Dyer telling you you have a divine purpose. This is a psychiatrist almost 100 years ago saying that everyone is born with eustress. Stress. That means you got to figure out why you're here and begin to do it. What a concept. What a concept. What happens if you don't discharge this eustress by living the life you were designed to live? What happens? How about, remember we talked about the stress you feel in your body? No wonder, as I said 2 weeks ago, the United States consumes with 5% of the population 80% of the pharmaceutical drugs in this country. We tend to look at opportunities instead of what we're here to do. Hey, that looks like a good job. They seem like nice people. I could make an extra 10 grand a year. I'll go do that. And then you come home and you're so drained and exhausted from doing something that you're not meant to do that you feel this stress. So we lessen it with drugs, with alcohol, with bad behaviors. You've got something. And it doesn't mean you have to be the next president of the United States. It means you can be the next best artist in Northmore, Missouri, by making stained glass or whatever it is. What matters in the end is, were you you? Or were you a reflection of what other people thought you should be? You are going to have the feeling of you stress in your life until you discharge it by doing what you're meant to do. So, I want to talk more about mental junk food. I said I wanted to address that this week. Because if I asked you at the beginning, would you like to reduce stress in your life, and all your little hands went up, I'm going to give you some suggestions, although you're probably going to go, yeah, thanks, Will, anyway. Give me a pill. I mean, that's really, I'm not saying that's how you are, but I'm saying that's how most people are. Rather than change their lifestyle, they will take a pill of some kind. So if that's your thing, cool. But if you're really looking for ways to get rid of stress in your life, one of the things you need to do is to stop consuming mental junk food. And by that, first of all, don't let your friends and family dictate what you eat. And by that, I mean put into your brain. Don't let other people decide what's on your news feed. 2 years ago, I had 1,100 Facebook friends. Today, I have 97. And I have unfollowed a third of them. Because I can still love and appreciate somebody, but I don't need to hear their particular rant about whatever their particular issue is that is intended to do what? Enrage and engage me. So that is simply what people are trying to do. Just because someone is your cousin, mother, sister, father does not mean you need to constantly read their news feed. And I could expand that from outside of Facebook to say life as well. You need to protect yourself from what other people are saying. You do, because you take that energy in. If everybody's telling you the world is a terrible, horrible place, you're going to start looking for that, and you're going to live it out. So you need to decide. You need to decide how much you take in. One of the things when I finally got my weight under control was I read somewhere that restaurants are intended to give you more food than you need. If you go to a restaurant and it gives you exactly about as much as we need, you feel gypped in our culture. You feel gypped. But don't let the restaurant decide how much you put into your body. It's better to let it go to waste than let it go to waste, right? Well, the same is true when it comes to other people's information. Just because you work with someone, just because you hang out with someone, be cautious of taking it in. So that's number one. Don't let other people decide how much you, or rather dictate what you're going to eat. The second thing is, this is a quote I wanted to give you. It's only a movie. It's only a movie. Raise your hand if you've seen the movie Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's movie. Do you know when that movie was first screened for audiences, they hated it? They almost pulled it. It's like the 14th most popular movie of all time. He went back and not only did he recut the movie, but what Hitchcock did was he limited the number of screens that it was released on. Instead of expanding them, he limited it. You know why? So he could have trained nurses at all the theaters in case anyone had a heart attack at how scary his movie was. Now, was that brilliant marketing? Say yes. The thing is, your mind today we could show, Psycho is shown on broadcast television, is it not? Now, I want to be very upfront with you. I grew up and all I watched was horror movies as a kid. I've seen them all. Creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein. Then I evolved into, I have seen Hostel. I saw all four Saws, okay? So I'm just telling you all of these things I have seen. Now, about 2 weeks ago, someone said to me, or I was talking about going to the movies. Marty and I always go to the movies on Thursday nights. And I said, we're going to the movies. And they said, oh, I know what you're going to go see. And I said, what? And they said, The Magnificent Seven. And I said, no, I'm not. And they said, why? And I said, it's too violent. And they went, oh, God, you're such a, oh, yeah. All of a sudden, my manhood was attached, my masculinity, to whether or not I watched graphic depictions of people killing each other. And what went through my mind is, as long as we're going to continue to associate manliness with violence, we're going to have trouble with violent men, friends. I stopped seeing violent stuff basically when I started dating Marty. Because Marty doesn't like it. And now here's the thing, I could still watch it. She's not saying I can't. What I've discovered is, and here's the thing that happened for me, it happened between Batman 2 and Batman 3. I'm telling you. Because I loved The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. You know, I'm so still so sad that he's gone, etc. I was so into it, you know? But when we went to see The Dark Knight Rises, the third one, which it was a couple of years later, we got up and we left at my suggestion, about 10 minutes into it, because of the boom, 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 relentless. Oh yeah? Boom, boom. And you feel it with the subwoofers. Now, what had happened with me was, for about a year and a half, I hadn't watched anything violent. And all of a sudden, when I did, it freaked me out. I can equate it to eating a vegetable-based diet. I've eaten only a vegetable-based diet now for 6 years, 7 years. One day, I ate a piece of cheese pizza. What do you think happened to me? You know, don't you? But why is the same not true for your mind? If you know it's true for your body, why is it not true for your mind? The reason that all of this violence, and by the way, just this morning before I came in, I looked up the top 25 movie posters of all time. Google it. All but two have either guns in the movie posters or they're horror films. It's only a movie. If it's only a movie, then why don't we watch little children watch stuff that's entitled for 19, 20, 21-year-olds? We don't. There's a group of people that censor our internet. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you the truth. Because whenever you're looking at something on Google or Safari or whatever, and you see something that's an image that is inappropriate, what can you do? You can usually right-click and flag it as inappropriate. What then happens? Well, first of all, it is scanned. And then after it's scanned, the first thing what they're trying to do is to figure out, is it obscene and disgusting or is it a crime? Do you understand? People post things that are crimes online that are disgusting and obscene, and some people post things online that look like crimes, but they're just photoshopped images. Do you understand there's a difference, right? You got weird people doing both. Now, when you flag one of those images, the first thing that's done is it's scanned. If it's questionable, it goes to a real person. That real person's job is to sit there and really look at the image to try and figure out, is it truly horrific or is it imitation horrific? This is a real job. Now, the interesting thing is, the people who do these jobs, do you know how long they tend to last on the job? About 6 months. Do you know why? They all leave with the same problem, post-traumatic stress disorder. The mind cannot tell what is real and what is vividly imagined. If you're watching horrific, terrible images, it is going to put you into distress. You know why? The comedians Penn and Teller answered that years ago for me. I bought a book that, of jokes you could do with people that Penn and Teller came up with. It's called Play With Your Food. And what you were supposed to do is to take a fork. This is a fork from our home. And you were supposed to start putting it towards your eye. Now, did you notice that every last one of you started going, when I started doing that? That is because of what are known as mirror neurons in your brain. It is what allows you to feel what other people are feeling. Now, you can feel it in person, and you can feel it good, or you can feel it bad. You can feel it on a screen, and you can feel it good, or you can feel it bad, but you're gonna feel it. You're going to feel it. So what do you want to feel? What is going to make you less stress? Just take that in. Think about what comes into your mind from outside people and from the shows and things you watch. There's great stuff out there, by the way, that's not violent. We just finished all of Downton Abbey. Check it out. 40,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Two more things. No bad news, which means no news. Seriously. I mean, really seriously, as we shared a couple of weeks ago, there was a recent study that was shown that news literally serves absolutely no purpose. If you're a diehard fan of Hillary Clinton and you watch a negative news story, 15 minutes long, about Whitewater and about her standing by her husband and about her emails and this and that, you're going to be more in favor of her at the end of it. If you're an ardent Trump supporter, after 15 minutes of all the things he's done, you're going to be more for Trump. So news literally doesn't serve a purpose except to entertain. And to entertain, you must be shocked and surprised. Those are the two things. That's why we keep people are looking at the news every day. What did Trump do today? What was revealed about Hillary today? Shock me. Surprise me. Keep me engaged. Which keeps me what? Thank you. Stressed. Take a 21-day news break. 21 days. Just 21 days. Try going 3 weeks. That'll take you right through the end of the election. But don't worry, you won't have to look at the news. You'll know who won. Everyone will be talking about it. And the last thing I want to leave you with to de-stress is probably one of the more important things I've learned in the last few years, which is actually a silly little thing, you might think. Marty and I bought this beautiful house on the lake. We've got these big windows overlooking the water. So at night, lights from the other houses, from the sky, etc., bounce off the lake and shine into our bedroom. Our bedroom was never really dark at night, ever, nowhere near. I mean, you could walk through and find things. It was just very easy. And what I discovered was we were getting more and more stressed as a couple, distressed as a couple. We were getting a little more and more snippy with each other. We weren't getting enough or the right kind of sleep. Today, it is so common for us to have things that our ancestors never would have, like a green light over here flashing, charging our phone, and a purple light over here flashing, charging this, and a light telling us what time it is at any given moment, and all of these things. So the one little extra piece of advice I want to give you this morning is darken your bedroom completely. Do everything you can. Get some black electrician's tape. I went out and bought blackout curtains, put them up. It is amazing the difference. If we charge our phones, we make sure we slide them under the bed so you don't see the little light. Just any little thing. And it's amazing. If you're better at sleeping, you're better at being awake. And you'll certainly be a lot less stressed, okay? So distress, not stress. Do what you can over the next few weeks to eliminate the distress in your life. And we'll talk about how to discharge stress next week.